Bobby Rivers, alone in a world that doesn't want him. We can rebuild him, make him better than he was before. Better, stronger, blacker. Mocha.
She makes me glad I'm gay. You know what? I heard that line on a TV series, in a TV show, and it broke me the hell up in a seriously dramatic moment. Hi, this is Bobby Rivers, and thank you for tuning in to Mocha. Mocha, M-O-C-H-A-A. That stands for Man of a Certain You, H-U-E, and Age. And who is that giggling in the background? You know, it's just one of my favorite people in life. Keith Price. Okay, you know that line. That line just killed
me. Damn. You just jumped out with that one at the jump, man. What?
Because you know we have been loving Hap and Leonard on Sundance TV. And can we say thank you, Joe Lansdale, for creating those characters? You know, you've read some of the books. I have to buy at least one of the books.
My thing is that, you know, I got to do the whole series now because I'm obsessed with the whole relationship. I'm obsessed with the thing. And the show, forget about it. That finale.
Let's tell you, folks. I introduced Keith to this series because I had to see the first two episodes of season one for some work that I was doing. Wound up binge watching every episode available for that first season. It was like Swamp Noir because you have Hap is the white pacifist who did not serve in Vietnam because, as I just said, he's a pacifist, and his best friend is gay, black, tough as nails, Republican, and served in Vietnam. And this takes place in the 1980s, all right, the series. So the first season was like, it was really a crime thriller with Christina Hendricks, who y'all remember from Mad Men?
Yes.
Lord, she was like, she was a femme fatale.
She was in a buxom femme fatale.
I'm positive that Barbara Stanwyck looked down from heaven and said, "Oh, you go, girl."
Yes.
That is the way to play it. And then we stayed through season two. And this season three that just concluded, they got deeper into the friendship of Hap and Leonard. It's intimate. It's not sexual. But, you know, we saw them as kids. So we know why they're best friends. We know the heartache in each other's lives. And this season, they were dealing with racism and masculinity and parents.
Honey.
Lou Gossett Jr. had one of the best roles I've seen him have in a long time as Leonard's father. Ooh, and dealing with the Klan.
I'm telling you, I have never in my life sat through a show, especially like that finale, where I was like, what have you done? Because again, this is cable TV, so I'm thinking, you know,
this is right.
What? And then when you ride the whole storyline that we were in with this the Black Bear Mambo.
The Two Bear Mambo.
I'm sorry.
Was for this
Black Bear Mambo. That's
just completed.
That's my Thursday. That's my Thursday night. If I'm lucky. How you doing? Hey. Wow.
It put them in this town. Was like, does this town really exist? It was almost like a little Stephen King type thing.
Well, you know, thing is, I'm from Texas, and I grew up right about that period that they were in. Like, I was, you know, having my adolescence, if you will, during some of that time frame. And yes, honey, there was a town called, what was it, Canipa, Texas, honey. That's the one you don't want to just drive through accidentally and then have your car go down. It's like, get out. Far less happier ending.
They had the shapely blonde patrol woman who turned out to be a Klan member.
Watch. Can I?
And that's why Leonard said, she makes me glad I'm gay.
Honey, But it's all about the moment right before that, which was when she tried to slap him. Because by the time that you got to that place with Leonard, honey, they have run him through La Mille. Can I tell you?
Everything.
Every possible thing.
This is the 1980s.
It was so scary and so visceral. I was watching that
and I'm thinking about you. And here's what I thought. I am watching him. I'm watching them deal with, you know, this close friendship, these two men who love each other, one black, one white, one gay, one straight, and dealing with this racism. And I'm thinking, I got to tell Keith this. This show is set in the 1980s, but it feels more relevant to me than Will and Grace. Now, I know that's a different type of show. It's a different format, but that, you know, they're dealing with, you know, gay and straight, and it takes place today. But happened, Leonard, it's excellent writing, excellent acting, excellent direction.
It was, I think, to my knowledge, I have not yet been thrilled like that with a show, with a finale, with anything. I can't remember when. It's been a long time, you know,
It really became must-see TV for me.
Yeah,
really. And I want to repeat this, as I've said this before. Michael Kenneth Williams, who plays Leonard, you saw him play Omar on The Wire,
right,
when he was gay on The Wire, and then he played a true life character on When We Rise, which was an ABC miniseries
The Stonewall.
San Francisco.
Was it Stonewall?
Stonewall, yeah. Right. Right. And so he played a biographical character in that who is openly gay. And now he's playing a gay character. And each gay character has been different.
Yes.
And now he's playing a gay character on Happ and Leonard. And I tweeted it again. I went, when is GLAAD going to give him an honor? Because we talked about growing up, black actors would shy away from playing openly gay characters.
Especially a role like this. This is the role that if a black actor was going to try to cross that line, Michael K. Williams, between this and Omar, honestly, are the two kinds of roles that, honestly, a black actor, if they were smart, would just chew it up. Just go for it and chew it up. You know what I'm saying? And not be afraid. But, I mean, we're talking today, they can do that. You know, in the early days of Denzel...
Right.
So, never would
we mentioned before,
this.
Like back in I asked Keith one time. I said, "Okay, if when Jonathan Demme was making the movie Philadelphia, if he had said, okay, Denzel, I want Tom Hanks to play the defense lawyer, and I want you to play the lawyer who was stricken with AIDS. You want to do the role?"
He just said no. He would have said hell no.
And that's the way it was. That Michael Kenneth Williams has taken on these roles of James Purefoy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's all so good. And GLAAD recently had another one of its awards functions. They really should honor Joe Lansdale because he has given us a groundbreaking, revolutionary to me, gay character. We have not seen a gay character like this in TV in a long time.
Nope.
If ever. It's really different.
And you know what's so fascinating? And I say this only out of just the curious nature of it all. How fascinating that, you know, this, you know, man of a certain age who happens to be white is writing such a really kind of fun, profound thing where I know that the story is going to get even deeper and deeper and deeper with him. And I'm dying to know. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And what he's done with the friendship, and let me tell you, usually if you have a friendship between two men, mm-hmm. one is straight and one is gay, in America is usually presented in something that will get a laugh. If you want to see something mm-hmm. in which you see the friendship, a close friendship, a bond between a straight man and a gay man, you usually have to count on a foreign film, like something by Almodovar, like Talk to Her. Or something like that.
Right.
Joe Lansdale has brought it here to the States. And that is what is so fresh and original about it. It's a different voice and it really should be. It should be getting more attention than it does. And I wrote a fan letter to Sundance.tv, a feedback letter.
Uh-huh.
Say, I am black. I'm 50 plus. I am gay. The show to me is groundbreaking, significant, and revolutionary. And I hope that the cast and crew is picked up for season 4. Because these are voices that really need to be heard.
Exactly. And the thing is that if they do what networks used to do back in the day, you know what I'm saying? Where
right.
they actually just stayed with the show and like just let it breathe and just let it catch on and not rip it away because, you know, the numbers are not exactly where they should be. You know, give it a chance to just grow. Because I mean, like All in the Family, if they were in today's day, would never have made it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Cheers.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show might not have made it.
None of them would have made it if they weren't given the opportunity to breathe and grow. I mean, on top of the fact that they gave them, you know, 23 episodes for a season. You know what I mean? It's not this, you get six and you better be happy kind of crap. You feel what I'm saying, right? You know.
Sure.
Think if they gonna call it a series, you know.
Oh, man.
But what they have managed to do with the show and what they've managed to do with the text and what they've managed to do with the material is just, it's just astounding. I thought it was astonishing. I was like, y'all better freak. And then, of course, you know, let's put it out there. That moment in episode 5, I believe it was, before the big finale, the penultimate episode.
Right.
When they were literally under siege to the point after, I mean, almost trying to castrate another human being on the street.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. That was so close.
I couldn't even imagine. It was like you're an actor watching this and you're thinking to yourself, okay, where do you go inside your head to play that for real, A? And B, it was just like the panic and the fear of the reality of it was so, I was just so overly taken by it. It was just like, what did I just, I had to watch it over. I watched it over. Not to say that I'm into the gruesomeness of it, but it was like, it is the level of inhumanity that we can serve to each other. And the thing is that as we were watching it and going, oh my God, that's TV. I know for a fact that there was a time in our history that was absolutely something that could have happened and absolutely could have gone on and no one would have noticed it. No one would have noticed it.
Exactly. And probably did happen.
You know? And the whole...
Oh, good Lord.
And they worked me. They worked me. I was so glad, though, that they... You know, should we do spoiler alert? Because that ending was
just
everything.
We're coming up to a spoiler alert. So you can go, you can put your hand over your ears and go, Okay. And come back in about 10 seconds.
Yes. The moment when after all of that, they managed to find her.
Okay. Just leave it there.
They find her. Let's just put it that way.
Just leave it there.
The entire series is based on the moment of trying to find this young woman. And what was so beautifully done was that it?
Because you said it without giving a whole lot away, but you could say what was so beautifully done about
it. What the actual event of this woman being missing throughout most of the series, what it did was the basis upon how she ends up in the situation that we do find her up into later. Once we get to that situation, and you realize that moment, that incident that happened, is the reason that the other aspect of that B story with all that racism and all that hatred and all of that other stuff that came out. And it's sort of like, wow. That's the part that I found so like, you're kidding me. It's like, it's not even, it took an event that had nothing to do with what they were really going to, what she really went for and what they were actually looking for, to have that kind of explosion of racism and explosion of hatred, and to see it just in that way was just like, you better.
And that's why, as a gay black man, that I watched that show that takes place in the 1980s, and to me, it has more relevance than Will and Grace.
Oh, well, of course it does. I mean, yeah, well, I think part of it is because even after now, did you, speaking of finales, did you make it to the end of Will and Grace?
I did. Was that the one where they kind of saluted the Debbie Reynolds character?
No, it was, there's like, I think it's like you had two more after that, I think.
No, I probably didn't.
Yeah. Well, let's just say it ended and they're going to come back next year. Anyway.
Oh, okay. Good
you know,
for them.
And bully you know, for them.
Can I, is it before you finish? what you just said, which was so accurate, it's so right and so strong about Hap and Leonard, I'm going to repeat myself. I mentioned this to you before. It's what makes me kind of angry about today's entertainment reporters who wait for the stories to be given to them. Oh, somebody gave me a release or somebody told me to cover this instead of discovering something new, a fresh, original voice that people should know about. You know what? If I was on one of these network morning shows, I'd be booking Joe Lansdale. I'd be trying to interview the lead actors, the director, because it is such a novel, good show.
I think that when someone like perhaps maybe, I don't know, who's hot right now? Someone like a Cheyenne Jackson, a Cheyenne Jackson or... Oh. Let me see, who's really hot with GLAAD right now? We got to find people hot with GLAAD right now and have them do a guest appearance on a Hap and Leonard, or better yet, end up being
GLAAD's
a lover.
Going to that. I haven't seen it, but the reboot of Queer Eye?
For the Straight Guy. Yeah, that's back. Oh, it's just Queer Eye now, not just for the Straight Guy. It's just Queer Eye.
Yeah, so GLAAD's loving them, and they're still loving Will and Grace. They're loving that, was the ice skater Rippon?
I can't because they don't love us.
But I've said this before. These kids today, you know, they go on Entertainment Tonight, they come out of the closet. The next thing you know, GLAAD gives them a cake, balloons, pony rides.
Well, because they're
we didn't even get a Hallmark card.
Well, but it's so funny that you say that, because just this week I celebrated my 25th anniversary of coming out of the closet, like the actual to the date, right? And I just realized at some point, as you were saying that and you're talking about the kids, it's like, I'm still technically a gay twink. And in my gay years, I'm still a twink. And I totally don't understand why you're so angry about what they don't understand. Yeah, like, why? No, I feel like the shininess is what it is about our LGBTQIA culture, because, you know, you got to include everybody now. But like, you know, the reason that I feel like GLAAD hasn't made the leap over, or it's A, because they don't know. And part of that is because, you know, somebody from E hasn't told them that they should, like, check this out, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
And, or maybe they're not drinking the correct vodka. Or, you know,
They're, you know, again, like I said, you get someone like, I say, a Cheyenne Jackson, who's cute and fabulous.
Maybe Andy Cohen or Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper to do some, you know, guest appearance in the show. And then all of a sudden, people are going to be like, oh, my God, that's just groundbreaking. Meanwhile, they'll be ready, you know, they still standing in line trying to get season 4 popping, which is the reason why we need to just go ahead until Sundance. Y'all better get it together, and don't be cheap, and don't be shady.
And if you're listening to us, and if you're fans of the show,
you got
to
do it.
I've memorized the email. You can send your viewer comments or your viewer love about Hap and Leonard 2, feedback@sundance.tv. Not .com. It's feedback@sundance.tv. TV. Mm-hmm. And I got a response. Yesterday. They thanked me very much. They said they're still making a decision on whether or not it's going to come back for season 4. But, you know, you and I are hoping that decision is, yes, we want you back.
Well, it's going to be a real interesting thing to see, because my thing is that we need to just go ahead and tell them that Bobby and Keith over at Mocha said, y'all better renew this show.
Y'all better put it on.
And put it on and stop tripping. And y'all better, you know, I'm not mad at the 6 and 7 episodes or however many episodes it was, but could you, you know, be ready for at least a 12? Could you give me 13? I'm just saying.
That would be wonderful.
It would be great, not only because it would show that they can carry that kind of energy, but then also I'm thinking maybe they should probably keep it at 6. You know why? Because then it might wind up having that True Blood thing that happened that I did not like.
You know, you're right. You're right about that.
Because they were so busy trying to fill it with so much other stuff that they missed out on the actual text that was given to them. And so I do want them to make sure that they respect Mr. Lansdale's work, because I'm sure that he has a very clear through line, or at least a wonderful through line, for the rest of these books. And if they, you know, if anything, give us 6 episodes a book, I ain't going to be mad, but could we not let it be a whole year in between? You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
Like, and pick, that's crazy. Pick you know, three
when,
books.
When Keith and I, when we see a production team like that, it's not just the actors, but you look at the production design, and you go to the people on the crew,
yes.
Everybody involved. We support them having employment because we know what it's like. That, no, let them give them some work.
You know,
let them be able to pay their bills.
I would say go ahead and have Sunday. Hey, if y'all listening over at Sundance, this is what we're going to tell you. Shh, Mr. Lansdale, don't listen because we don't want you to get your hands soiled in our filth and flarn and trying to make it happen. But I say you just pick the next three books. Go ahead and okay them. Get the scripts ready. Spend, you know, the next couple of months getting the scripts ready. And then shoot all three of them like they do the Lord of the Rings and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then have them ready to go so that people don't have to be sitting around here waiting way too long for six episodes. Because, I mean, if you're only going to give us six, then you should give us six more often in the course of a season than just give us six every year. Because the show is good. And the thing is that the minute that you have more, I think, more product ready, you're gonna have us chomping at the bit, honey. That people will be
that
losing
is so
their
true.
Mind. They're gonna be
and
losing
I,
their
I
minds.
I will say this in closing because I don't want to go on too long because I know you got stuff to do. But especially after having seen season three, it will be a sin and a shame if Hap and Leonard does not get Emmy and Golden Globe nominations.
Yes, and NAACP, y'all better be present. Essence, y'all better figure out something going on. BET, y'all better pick these up. See, BET needs to be picking this up and doing this on a rebroadcast thing. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
They better get with it.
You got an amen for me, baby.
They better get with it. You hear that, Mr. Lansdale? You can listen now. We. And could somebody please tell Michael K. Williams that I know he is in Brooklyn. Could y'all ask him to drop by? Because we would love to have a minute with him.
You know, he's been doing a documentary for HBO.
Yes, on Vice. He's got something going on the Vice channel,
oh,
too.
For Vice. Did you see that?
I saw the last episode, him talking to these rough-ass people. I was like, you hardcore,
you know what?
Bro.
I mean,
you are hardcore.
Again, more applause.
Yes.
He is taking, he's using his career for social activism.
Yep.
That was some touching and meaningful stuff. Oh.
Hardcore stuff, though. But see, again, you know, that is what I mean when we talk about the full-on artist, the full-on thing. And we ain't shading, what's his name, Mr. Purefoy. He's gorgeous and fabulous.
He is a good actor, and I think he got even deeper into his character for the third season.
Ooh, and then... You know what? This is another spoiler alert if y'all hadn't heard it, but
don't just want it too much. People may
no,
come into it for the first time.
I'm just saying, y'all better get ready for some serious love going on with Hap, honey. I think Hap learned to love the women of color because he has such a wonderful love for his dear friend. You know, it's really interesting too. It makes me think of my friend that I grew up with. His name is Chris Kiway. Hey, Chris. Who I think that if we could have, like, in the 80s, if we could have been older and tougher, we could have totally have been Hap and Leonard, I think, at one time. I think.
Wow.
Because he was white and straight and nice, and I was black and gay and fabulous, not so rough. Yeah. We'd have to, like, soften it or something. But needless to say, Sundance TV, we talking to you. We got our eye on you, all right?
We do. And that's what we have to say about Hap and Leonard. And
yes.
Bravo, bravo, bravo to you for a good third season. And we pray that we will see you back for season 4.
Mocha.